The House will be in order. Prior to recess, we run H8014 to H011 on Senate File 2142. We will now continue debate with Representative Steckman of Cerro Gordo. You're in order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the body, the first thing I'm going to ask are, what are your priorities with this bill? I rise in support of the amendment, but I really want to know what your priorities are. As a retired teacher, I used a lot of charts and graphs. 3 years ago, I was told I cannot do that on the House floor, but I can send them out. So I did send all of you the chart that I will be referring to. I also sent it to the press. The chart shows school funding from 1972 to 2020 present. In 1994 to 2017, school funding was set one full year ahead for schools to have some way of planning. In 2018, the majority party decided they only needed 30 days. So thus, we are setting school funding 30 days from when the governor had her budget requests. The average cost for schools is 3 to 4%, as you'll see by the chart. So with this bill that the majority party is wanting to pass, that it'll be over a decade that they have been underfunded. Over a decade that schools have had to figure out how to do business under being funded under inflation. This December, I heard people bragging about how our coffers were full, we have a surplus, all these wonderful things about all the money we have, yet we can't afford to help schools keep up with inflation. I have a letter here from a rural Northeast superintendent, and I'm only going to read part of it. It has a lot to do with what we're talking about now. While we are encouraged that Governor Reynolds is advocating for a 2.5%, it needs to be bigger than that. In my district, our special ed population is reaching 15% of our enrollment. The mental health crisis is real, as both parents and students continue to struggle to find services. When we spend more than we receive, we have to levy property taxes to make up for the special ed deficit. Obviously, my deficit is growing. RSAI and other school organizations are asking for a 3.75% because the past years have not kept up with our needs. We did not pull that number out of thin air. The difference between 2.5 and 3.75 will fund one special ed teacher and part of a paraeducator. Please be generous in funding any new programs for mental health. Students with needs are waiting up to 90 days for an appointment, and sometimes that appointment is in Iowa City. Your reserves are full. And even more, the call for more tax cuts are disingenuous when schools and Medicare are both falling behind. Our SSA numbers for the past decade have been below cost of our health insurance increases and increases of special needs teachers. I certainly hope that there are no serious thoughts of another tax break. That letter, part of the letter that I read, is from Dwayne Wilhite. He's the superintendent of North Fayette Valley Community Schools in West Union, a rural district. So what are the results of all these cuts that we've had to make? We've made cuts in programs, cuts in teachers, overcrowded classrooms. Behaviors have escalated because it's hard to manage a class size of 30 or more, or 20 or more sometimes. Teacher prep programs, as was pointed out, there are 38% less students going into the teacher prep program, and teachers that are now teaching are thinking about other occupations. I see a crisis on that front coming very shortly. I haven't been retired that long, but when I taught, we had a nurse in every school. We had a counselor in every school. We had a media specialist in every school. We don't have that anymore. And we're expecting our teachers to take more and more and more of the load because we can't afford to hire any more teachers. So we have behavior problems, which all of you have heard about. We're trying to solve that with some legislation. We need to solve it by putting money where our mouth is and showing where our priorities are for Iowans. And you know what? Iowans are watching to see where your priorities are. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Ellert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. So I work in a school that's similar to the one that Representative Smith talked about earlier. We serve 40% English language learners with over 24 languages being represented. We have a title program, and the whole school receives free lunch and breakfast due to the low socioeconomic status. I won't repeat all the information that my fellow caucus members have shared, but will say that as someone who works in the local school district and represents 10 schools within my house district, I do share their concerns. Working in public school, I've seen how the lack of proper funding is failing our children. I have been that teacher that's had chairs thrown at her. I've been hit, kicked, spit on, sworn at, and with children as young as kindergarten age. I've witnessed children injuring themselves, their peers, and their teachers, and we need more than just classroom teachers to help address these issues. Too often, I feel like we worry about our pocketbooks more than we worry about the welfare of the children. Funding public schools appropriately is the right thing to do economically and the right thing to do to support children. While I'm in favor of supporting this amendment, it's still not high enough. On a regular basis, I also meet with staff from the schools within my house district, and something that I've found to be a common concern with these schools is the specialized teaching staff. So we already know that there's a shortage of teachers in general for classrooms, but I have programs within my district that offer specialized services to deaf and hearing impaired, our ELL specialists, our behavior techs. We need a multitude of translators. We have staff in my schools that are getting ready to retire, or the principals are worried about them leaving and going to another profession where they can get paid more and have less stress. What are we doing to attract these professionals to Iowa? Right now, we can't even attract the classroom teachers, let alone these specialized teachers. We must invest in our schools and invest in our children, and that's why I'll be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Mattson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I rise in support of this amendment. We've already heard several compelling reasons from our colleagues about why an investment of $133 million is not just needed, but completely reasonable and fiscally responsible budgetary decision. I won't belabor the point, but I would be remiss if I didn't share stories from my two school districts. This first one is from a teacher. Ankeny High School class sizes hit the low to mid 30s. I've been at AHS since 2012 and have more students this semester than at any other point in my career, with no sign the trend is going to reverse itself. And then from a superintendent of the other district, and I think this is really important, so I hope everyone's listening. A 3% versus a 2.5% equates to two teachers being added to our already anorexic staffing for programs and services in the learning environment. We are fortunate that we are in a growth mode, but with several years of starvation, we are still miles behind in redeveloping solid programs to increase the success for learners. In essence, we are playing catch up, which is exacerbated by increased at-risk factors. We are in dire need of sufficient resources if we are to make expected progress and growth as a system. I don't know about you, but that really hit home when I read it. In dire need. Could that be any more evidence that we aren't doing enough? I keep hearing comments from members of the majority party in both chambers that our state is in a good budget position, that we have a surplus, that our rainy day fund is in excellent shape, and yet they aren't willing to make this much needed investment that our school districts are literally begging for. I ask again and again, what are our priorities? I urge this body to make kids and teachers our priority. I urge you to vote yes on this amendment. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I rise in support of the Smith Amendment. Every student deserves at least one caring adult in their school. And for some students, that caring adult might be the custodian who helps them find their lunchbox or supplies cereal in the morning when they haven't had anything to eat. It might be the school nurse where they can go and talk to them about what's happening at home. It might be the teacher who spends extra time that they might not be able to afford, but know how important that extra time means to that student. Increased student funding matters. It gives our school districts the tools that they need to meet the goals that we set for them. This is a wonderful opportunity within the first 30 days of the session to show our support for public education. It is basically the third bill that we are taking up this year. And if education is the foundation of our state, at least 3% is the amount that we can afford. As I read the budget book, it identifies that the governor in her budget is $289.9 million below our spending authority. An additional $20 million is doable. When I think about being in the classroom, it was a while ago, but I loved having the students in my class. I taught, one of the classes I taught was foods. I think the biggest compliment they could pay me in that particular class when they needed some help is they would say, "Mom, oh, Mrs. Winkler," because I was there to help. Now, that isn't the only thing I taught. I taught child development, I taught hospitality management, I taught interior design, I taught relationships. Many of those classes are elective classes, and those classes are necessary, but they're not being taught now because school districts are cutting down on the offerings of elective classes. This particular amendment will give our school districts the flexibility they need to hire the individuals that will give our students the best opportunity towards success. Smaller class sizes, school safety officers, classroom aides for disruptive students, guidance counselors, school nurses, school librarians, mental health counselors, custodians. It takes a village to raise our children. Our school is a major part of the village, and we can afford to give them this kind of support. I urge your adoption of this amendment.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Lynn, Representative Stade.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I want to thank my colleagues for giving you so many different reasons for supporting this amendment. I have others. I want to tell you why this investment in Iowa's children, Iowa's future, is so important. We continue to talk about Iowa schools being the best in the nation, the best in the world, world quality, and we all talk here day after day about wanting improvements, student improvement. And then, in the face of the requests from our superintendents, from our administrators, from our teachers, from our parents, and from our students for adequate funding, based upon the needs that they tell us about, the need just to break even without more cuts at 3.74 or 3.75. I try to stay in contact with my administrators and superintendents in the school districts that my constituents attend, and I listen to and speak to the parents. I have not found one administrator, superintendent, teacher, parent, or student who hasn't felt that we have continuously underfunded education. We already know we have the information you've heard from my colleagues about what will be cut, what administrators have told them. So what do we base our number on? Something that the governor gave us based upon our budget, but that's not true either because we have the funds in the budget and a surplus in it that we're even talking about income tax cuts. So why this low funding again? My superintendent in Cedar Rapids says that in Cedar Rapids School District, they've had to cut positions. 4 years ago, they increased the teaching load of all the secondary teachers to 6 out of 7 periods per day. Formerly, they had one prep period and a collaboration period. Collaboration periods for the improvement of student achievement and for teachers working together, that's history with this kind of funding. In the Cedar Rapids schools, they've had to cut teacher librarians, the elementary Spanish that they had offered, and they cannot offer much in the area of career and technical education. They can only afford to accomplish the core curriculum requirements and code requirements. Is that the path to increase successes in world quality education? They say they could choose to eliminate additional music offerings like show choir, band, orchestra, but they believe that those programs are deeply rooted in opportunities and high quality education within the community, and parents demand it. The superintendent says that they are not willing to have an or system. They want an and system. For the sake of the students and for the sake of the future of Iowa and future ready Iowa. They've had to find ways to supplement their support for education. Again, she says our current faculty will absorb the responsibilities of all the other FTEs that have lost and do their best to continue the programs and systems that they offer with more on their plates yet again as a result of our funding. So I ask you again, every one of you here in the chamber, please support this amendment. Give our students and schools the funds that they need for improving student achievement and making our schools the priority again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House.
The chair recognizes Representative Abdul Samad. Is the representative in the chamber? No? Okay, Not seeing the member, or not seeing the representative at this time, the chair will recognize the gentleman from Ringgold, Representative Dolcheck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I rise at this time realizing the concerns that many of my colleagues have raised in the Democratic Party. Appreciate those concerns. There are priorities, I think, of every member in this assembly as well. We are attempting to address many of those concerns on an individual basis. The majority party basically has got a 2.5% increase in SSA, which amounts to over $97 million of new money directly into K-12. In conversations with the Appropriations Chair and the other priorities of the budget, we did not feel that there was any way we could go above that. The House is solid in our 2.5%. I would urge you to vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes Representative Smith of Blackhawk for closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So I think my peers have done a great job of outlining some of the specific consequences of a lack of adequate funding. Now, I know the narrative that we're giving record funding every year for schools, and that House Republicans will argue that they've never cut school funding. But I challenge you to think about what our goals actually are. I'm not asking you to take a giant leap. I'm challenging you to step up with me, with us. Step up for a competitive workforce for the future. Step up to save rural Iowa by maintaining small schools with large impacts to their community. Step up to do better than we've done. I'm not requesting that we jeopardize our budget or that we sacrifice a large portion of our reserve funds. I'm saying that the real condition regarding our education funding is that one day, if we continue to follow our current trajectory, we'll come to a place where we'll be forced to make up years of inadequate funding all at once because our school system will implode. Or today, we can take the fiscally responsible steps today by making a meaningful investment towards filling the hole. This is our olive branch. Grab a hold and let's move forward together in addressing the root cause of issues that are plaguing our schools. Please support this amendment. Mr. Speaker, I move this amendment and I request a division in the record.
The gentleman from Blackhawk, Representative Smith, has requested a division in the record. The gentleman from Floyd, Representative Pritchard, has seconded the motion. This is now a record roll call vote. Will the clerk open the machine and record your vote? Fry, no.
Seek, no.
Losi, no.
Dio, no.
Dio, no. Breckenridge, aye. Gary, Representative Moore, aye.
Running,
or excuse me, no.
Bossman, no.
Bossman, no.
Bacon, no.
Timor, no. Sorensen, no. Orth, aye.
James, aye.
Running, Marquardt, aye.
Gustafson, no.
Is that Representative Mark Smith, aye. Kurth,
yes. Gustafson, no.
Representative Gustafson, no. Representative Holt, no. Oh boy. Representative Baxter, no. Representative Gassman, no. Thorup, no. You can vote from your desks as well, members. Just want to remind you of that. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. Those voting aye, 46. Those voting no, 52. Absent or not voting, 2. The amendment has failed. We are now back on H8011. Is there further discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Abdul Samad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're on the final bill, right? Correct. No?
The comments would be on H8011.
Oh, wait, no, I want to speak on the final bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Ringgold, Representative Dolchek, for closing remarks on H8011.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, 8011 is my original amendment to take the Senate file to 2.5 and send it back to the Senate. There are several reasons why we feel this is important. Many of those have been addressed today, this morning as well. It is a priority of the House. Education is a priority. Basically, 43% of the entire state budget goes to K-12 education. We have made a commitment as a majority party we would have this done within the first 30 days. This sends a message to the Senate that the House is at 2.5%. We feel, although some would say that may not be adequate, I think that is sufficient within the scenario that we have in the budget and our priorities to be able to provide an excellent number out there to our school districts across the state of Iowa as they start negotiations for salaries and go into the coming year, Mr. Speaker. I would include my opening remarks on this amendment.
Representative Dolchek moves Amendment H8011. A division and a record have been requested by Representative from Harrison, Representative Winchittle, seconded by a Representative from Dallas, Representative Hagenow. This is now a record roll call vote. The clerk will open the machine and record your vote. Meyer of Polk votes aye. Seek votes aye. James votes aye. Bacon votes aye. Timor votes aye. Baxter votes aye. Holt votes aye. Sorensen votes aye. Running Marquardt votes aye. Representative Kurth votes aye. Representative Gustafson votes aye. Have all the members voted? The clerk will close the machine and pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 98. Those voting no, 1. Absent or not voting, 1. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on Senate main bill, Senate file 2142 as amended. Is there further discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Abdul Samad.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Frederick Douglass had a quote that says, "It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men and women." One of the things that we look at on this bill that we're talking about, 2.5 is a step, but when we had the Representative Smith talking about even raising it higher, we have school districts that are still suffering. We have school districts that are suffering, and when they suffer, our babies suffer. And so when we talk about supplemental funding, supplemental aid, when we talk about that school funding, we have to break it down so that the community understands that we're talking about their babies. You are talking about their babies. You are talking about still depriving our schools of situations that are needed. We look at the increase of violence in our schools. We look at the increase of our babies not having the right counselors. We're looking at situations happening with trafficking. We look at situations that are increasing in bullying. We still have issues in our school, but if we keep underfunding our schools, then those situations don't get resolved and our babies are not being built to be strong, that means we have to pay at the end. If we're not paying at the front of it, then we're paying at the end of it. And the end of it is our prison system. The end of it is when we turn around and have to pay close to $37,000 a year from us to be able to house individuals that if we had a built strong children before, we may not would have had to increase what we needed to do with our judicial system. We're asking that we reevaluate where we're at today. And we do this every year. This is 14 years here and 14 years that I've got up and said this and said, what about our babies? Are we giving them the tools to be able to grow and be Iowans that would lead us into the direction that Iowa needs to be led? And if we're not giving the babies a tool, that means we're not giving teachers a tool. If we're not giving teachers a tool, we're not giving our system the tools to do what is right. I'm not going to be long because we've talked about this. We've been here and been able to say we have to do the right thing. It's time for us to stand up for what matters and not stand up and just to get by. We have to quit doing cosmetic solutions and start doing systemic solutions. We have individuals that we talk about, yeah, we work together as Democrat and Republicans, we do. And we brag about some of the bills that we get. But let's brag about what we're standing together to do for our babies. Let's stand up for our school districts across this country. That's what we need to be able to do. Let's stand up for our babies so that they are ready to go to college. Let's stand up for our babies so that we're not saying by the fourth grade we can determine how many prison beds we have to build because the majority of our babies are not at reading level. Let's stand up together to be able to say, whatever we need to do, let's fund our schools. Let's move the barometer up and let's do what we need to do. My colleagues of the House, it's time for us now to go beyond the mindset that we've had over the last few years. Let's have a mindset that now says, Iowa is going to educate its babies. And Iowa now is going to push to become number one. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Ringgold, Representative Dolchek, for closing remarks on Senate File 2142.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 2142, as amended, provides 2.5%, basically a little over $97 million. With that package and the package we just passed for transportation and district cost per pupil equity, we'll put over $108 million of new money into K-12 education. I respect the opinions of my colleagues and I share many of those concerns. A lot of those concerns that we talked about are student discipline, classroom behavior, at-risk populations. We are continuing to try and find solutions to those problems as well, with many of the bills we're coming up. We will continue to do that. We're trying to direct money basically to where it is most needed and address those programs that need that additional dollars. We will continue to do that in the future. Some of the things that were talked about a little bit earlier, we talked about the ratio of inflation to student appropriations for K-12 education. To my recollection, basically, the inflation over the last 9-10 years since 2011 has been 13.5%. When you talk about the dollars that have gone into K-12 education since 2011, and you extrapolate all those out and divide it by percentage, the appropriations to K-12 education has gone up 34%. Inflation has gone up 13.5%. Some could say that we haven't kept up with inflation. I would submit to you that we have funded K-12 education way above the total rate of inflation, the dollars we have spent. It just depends on what you compare, whether you're comparing the total SSA number and that alone, or you're comparing total education funding. I prefer to compare the actual dollars that have been appropriated to K-12 education during that time period. We talked a little bit about student ratios, teacher-student ratios. I realize they vary between districts, but the student-to-teacher ratio across the state of Iowa as an average is 13, a little over 13 students per teacher. That has gone down considerably. We've added over 3,000 new teachers since 2011. Granted, we have a growing population, but not to the amount that we have new teachers going into the profession. I also realize that we have a lot of teachers now not wanting to go into the profession or quitting a profession and have trouble attracting those teachers. I'm not sure all of that can be attributed to the pay. I think a lot of us contributed to the demands that are being placed upon them and the student behavior, classroom behavior, and those type of things that are also driving that. So I think the 2.5% that we are sending back with this amendment to the Senate file sends a very strong message. And I would personally like to thank my colleagues in the minority party for helping us send that strong message back to the Senate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the Senate file as amended.
The gentleman from Ringgold moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 2142, a bill for an act relating to the public school funding and establishing an estate percentage growth and categorical state growth for the budget year beginning July 1, 2020, modifying provisions and references related to the property tax replacement payment and including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Representative Lundgren votes aye.
Best
votes aye. Seek votes aye. Sorensen votes aye.
Bacon
votes aye.
James
votes no. Hagenow votes aye.
Timor
votes aye. Running Marquardt votes no. Kurth votes no. Gustafson votes aye. Salmon votes aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 52. Those voting no, 48. Absent or not voting, 0. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. Introduction of bills.
House File 2336 by Kaufman, a bill for an act relating to the crime of an invasion of privacy.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
House File 2337 by Gassman, a bill for an act exempting pay received by providing certain child care services and creating an additional personal exemption credit against the individual income tax and including effective date and applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
House File 2338 by Committee on Judiciary, a bill for an act relating to eluding or attempting to elude a pursuing law enforcement vehicle and providing penalties.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment placed on the calendar.
House File 2339 by Committee on Judiciary, a bill for an act related to the judicial motions and cause of action arising from a person's participation in matters of public significance.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment placed on the calendar.
House File 2340 by Committee on Education, a bill for an act relating to the Iowa Educational Savings Trust Plan by permitting the use of funds for certain beneficiary to attend out-of-state elementary or secondary schools and including retroactive applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment amendment placed on the calendar.
House File 2341 by Committee on Natural Resources, a bill for an act relating to hunting black bear and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment placed on calendar. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to immediately message Senate File 2164 and Senate File 2142 to the Senate.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, with the passage of House File or Senate File 2164 and Senate File 2142, I ask unanimous consent to withdraw House File 2245 and House File 2243.
Are there objections? The chair hears none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschuttle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there's no further business to come before the House this time, I move the House recess until the conclusion of the afternoon committee blocks.
Is there further business to come before the House? Seeing none, you have all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Windschuttle. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the House is recessed.